Here in this dusty ground, I bow with kings. That's what we just sang. And I do think that of all the characters in the Christmas story, these have to be the most obscure and really the strangest. Of course, in countless nativity plays around the country, three children wearing impressive robes and crowns will have processed to the front, maybe accompanied by camels, and will have joined with the shepherds around the manger of the baby Jesus. But actually, when you read about them in Matthew's Gospel, it's not quite that straightforward. We're not told how many there were. And they aren't called kings, but magi, or wise men. So I just toy with the idea of singing, "We indeterminate number of wise men," this morning, but it kind of didn't seem to fit properly. We don't know where they came from. They almost certainly didn't arrive at the same time as the shepherds. When they got there, Jesus was with Mary and Joseph in a house, not a stable. And that's pretty much all we know about them. It is all very vague. So, why is it that Matthew tells us about these wise men? As Debbie said, although it's a new year, we're kind of still in the Christmas season. This morning we're finishing off that series which we began last year, looking at some of the elements of the Christmas story and asking, so what? Why are they important? What do they mean for us? So there was Bethlehem, so what? John the Baptist, so what? Virgin birth, so what? Shepherds, so what? And today, wise men, so what? We're going to turn to the Bible, to that well-known passage from Matthew 2, but before we do that, let's pray. God, our Father, we do thank you that everything that's written in the Bible has been written for us, to teach us and encourage us. And so we pray that this morning, as we look at this well-known passage, this well-known part of the Christmas story, that you will help each of us to see afresh what it is you want to say to us through this passage. And that as we look at this passage, you'll be equipping us from these incidents in the past, equipping us for our future as your children. We do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we are going to turn at Matthew chapter 2 on page 966. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So, what is that all about? Why is it important enough for Matthew to include? Actually, I think despite the vagueness of it, I think there are four important reasons for this being here. Four things that I think is great for us to be reminded of at the start of this new year. So, to begin, After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." As I said, Matthew gives us so few details. We have no idea how many magi or wise men there were, nor exactly where they came from. They came because they'd seen a new star rise. Their wisdom obviously involved studying the stars. From the name magi, it seems most likely they came from what is now Iran. Being magi, or wise men, means that they would have been deeply involved in the spiritual. Nowadays, it sometimes seems if you want to be regarded as wise, you need to reject anything supernatural or spiritual. But then it was just the opposite. Wisdom was bound up in figuring out what the gods were doing, discerning things at a much more than natural level. So these wise men would have been deeply involved in some sort of religion, some sort of spirituality. In the ancient world, as today, I guess, stargazing was big business. It was thought that special astronomical events often accompanied special events in the world. So when the star appears in the sky, these stargazers believe that something very special must have taken place. And we have no idea how they drew the conclusion that they must search for a king in Jerusalem because they saw this star. There is a passage in Numbers 24 which says that a star will come out of Jacob. Many Jews believe that that verse was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Perhaps the Magi put two and two together. But what's clear is that these Magi, from far away, had their own religion, the religion of the area where they lived. They were deeply immersed in that. And if they'd just made this journey in order to find out a bit more about a significant birth, even if they'd made this journey because they thought there was a king being born and that it would be the respectful thing to do to come and pay their respects to a new king, yeah, that might make kind of sense. But that wasn't all that they did. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Worship him. That's very strong language. That's not just we've come to pay our respects to a new king. We have come to worship him. Worship is what you give to a god, to a deity. They came and acknowledged that this baby was the one who deserved their worship. It's the first reason I think this account is important for us. Because it reminds us that Jesus isn't just one spiritual figure among many. One of the ways in which our world today is just like the world then is that it is full of different spiritualities. In fact, people often think that just being spiritual is what matters. You know, I've had people say to me, "Oh yes, I'm a very spiritual person." But actually, these wise men show us that it's not quite like that. Despite their spirituality, despite their own religion, they came to worship Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is unique. As he himself would say, no one comes to the Father except through him. So right from the start, the Magi remind us about the uniqueness of Jesus. Despite their own background, despite their own religion, despite all of that, they came to worship him. But actually their coming also reminds us that Jesus is for everyone. One of the great bits of good news in the Christmas story comes just before this, in Matthew chapter 1. In a dream, an angel tells Joseph that Mary will have a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That really is good news. He will save his people from their sins. You know, those things which we do, which spoil our own lives, which damage our relationships, which destroy our relationship with God, those things that we just can't save ourselves from. We can't even stop ourselves doing those things, let alone undo all that's been done already. But Jesus came to save his people from all that. He came to reconcile them to God and to give them that new start that Debbie was talking about earlier. Which is fabulous news if you are one of his people. He came to save his people from their sins. So who are God's people? Who are the ones he does this for? The Jews of Jesus' time assumed that it was them. Right through the Old Testament, they'd been called God's people. But the coming of the Magi shows us that God's purposes are so much bigger than just that one ethnic group. The Magi were Gentiles. They were non-Gentiles. They were non-Jews. But they came to worship Jesus. And it's a reminder that Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. Of all who would come to him. Not just of the Jews. If Jesus was good news for the wise men, then he is good news for everyone who will come to him. Because everyone who will come to him becomes one of his people and is saved and given this new start, including us. There's a third thing that I think this does help us to see. Because I think that maybe Matthew wants us to recognize in the coming of these Gentiles to worship Jesus something of the dedication that is actually required from anybody who wants to be one of Jesus' disciples. And I think this is maybe where the Christmas story and nativity plays can dull our appreciation of that journey. Usually the great journey that the Magi take is symbolized by having to come from all the way from the back of the church to the front, while the shepherds only come off from the side here or something like that. And they all arrive at about the same time. But if you flip down just beyond where we read, verse 16, when Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. In other words, the time between when the star first appeared and their arrival at Bethlehem was probably getting on for 2 years. If the star appeared when Jesus was born, he'd have been a toddler by the time the Magi arrived. Doesn't mean they were actually traveling for that long. When they first saw the star, it would have taken time to work out what it meant, to find those ancient Hebrew scriptures which pointed them towards Judea. Then there would have been time spent preparing for the journey, but it would have dominated their lives for all that time. These guys had only the merest hint of who this baby was. But they just devoted themselves to finding him. And they kept going until they found him. And of course, we have our vision of making disciples, growing disciples and being disciples. And I think the Magi remind us that being disciples is not a picnic. It is not a hobby we can fit in with all the other important stuff in our lives. Being a disciple, I'm afraid, is a costly business. Jesus himself said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." And I think the Magi would have understood that. After they'd heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them till it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. That was, of course, why they had made the journey, so that they could worship the new king. They bowed before him. They acknowledged that this child was greater than they were, that this child deserved their devotion, their humility, their service, their worship, their lives. And they did it Not because of anything they got out of it, but because of who he was. It's a big thing. Long journey, costly. Discipleship is a big thing. So why bother? If being a disciple in 2017 means giving up the things which otherwise you would enjoy, if it means sacrifice and maybe discomfort, why on earth bother? And I think that leads to the fourth reason why this account is important. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three gifts. Probably the three most expensive commodities in the ancient world. Of course, we don't know how much they brought. We don't know how wealthy these stargazers were. But certainly what they gave Jesus would have cost serious money. But having said that, with the exception of the gold, these are not your kind of common everyday gifts. You may have been fortunate enough to get some gold for Christmas. No, maybe not. But almost certainly you didn't get any frankincense. And almost certainly you didn't get any myrrh. What's going on? They were very expensive, but that wasn't what mattered, because each of those gifts were deeply, deeply symbolic. Gold for a king. They recognized that Jesus was the new king of the Jews, but so much more than that. They recognized that he was a king who deserved not just their respect, but their worship. He was a king who was above every other king. He was God's great king, the one who rightfully rules not just Israel, but the whole world. And frankincense. Incense was associated with the priesthood. It was to do with the role the priest had in bringing the prayers of God's people to the Lord. So it was to do with being able to come into God's presence. And myrrh. Myrrh was a fragrant spice which was used to anoint dead bodies. Put those three together, and what you see is that Jesus really was the rightful king of God's world, yet he came to open a way for us to come into God's presence. And he did that by dying for us. Why bother with the cost of discipleship? These magi knew so little about who Jesus was. We know so much more. And we can see, just in those gifts, just how amazing what Jesus has done for us is. He will save his people from their sins, yes, by being their king, who came to open a way into God's presence by dying. So, wise men, so what? Well, although it's such an obscure story, I think the wise men show us that in a world where there are so many religions and spiritualities, Jesus is the only way. And that's actually good news, because if you are following Jesus, you do not need to waste your time looking for anything else. Jesus is the way. When you've got him, it's game over. And you can do that because the wise men show us that Jesus is for everyone who will come to him. They show us that coming to Jesus isn't something casual that you can take lightly. Being a disciple has real cost. And they show us why coming to Jesus is so worth it. Because when you come to Jesus, he is the one who gives you a way into God's presence. Through his death, you can become a friend of God for time and for eternity. Jesus came as king to die for me and for you, so that you could have a living relationship with God. And as we start 2017, no matter what you had for Christmas, that has got to trump it all.